We just got the latest Pakistan greetings from our last Zoom call. Greetings to you, dear pastor. What a blessed time that was. We had over 88 souls get saved. Many other people got healed. That's you. Thank you. Thank you for your support. One girl was having an issue in her hand, unable to hold anything, and she got healed. She was able to hold a glass, and she gave her testimony. One person was having neck pain, and he was in so much pain that he was unable to move it, and he got healed and gave his testimony. One person who was unable to straighten his leg got healed and was then able to straighten his leg and give his testimony. There were over 79 total testimonies that took place. Thank you, Harvest Church. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. And I asked Paulie, he took off. What are you going to do? I know he's not watching the Yankee game anyway. But I asked him if I could take a minute if there were any testimonies available from what took place when you walked through that door on Sunday. Now, I know somebody who takes excellent notes. So Nick Z going to come up and, because I don't even know what these things are, but it's powerful what happened to those that walked through that door. Okay, so I'm going to give some of you an opportunity to share that, all right?
So these are my notes from Paulie's anointed message on Sunday. An environment of giving creates an environment of protection and prosperity. An environment of serving creates an environment of blessing. An environment of confession, discipline, creates an environment of wisdom and healing. An environment of godly order creates an environment of God's faithfulness to us. And an environment of self-control creates an environment of peace.
Hallelujah. Wow. Oh, I like that. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Nick. Amen. So I was away at another church ministering, and the one thing, if I could just share with you quickly, happened there. The wife was sitting next to the pastor, I know him very well, in the front row. And she went like this with her lips. He hasn't smiled or laughed in over a year. And then he sent me a text after church. I haven't smiled or laughed in over a year. I've got news for you. He was laughing and smiling. And we did a Jericho march around the church. I said, have you ever run before? He said, you mean on a racetrack? No, around the church. So they had a Jericho march around the inside. They had never done that before. So there was, it was a supernatural spirit of God like you guys had here. And it was wonderful to see this pastor who's been under a lot of pressure to be able to smile and laugh. Amen. Isn't that good news? Glory to God. Who has a testimony? Something happened when you walked through that door on Sunday. Come on up, sir. All I can see is a hand. Come on up.
So it was interesting because as the message was being preached, I actually knew something was coming. I didn't know it was going to be a door, but I knew something was coming. And the flesh said, I'm not getting up, staying right in my seat. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're getting up. So then I said, well, I'll wait till the end. I'll be at the end of the line. And then my wife came out with the kids. And as we were waiting, we realized that all the environments were needed over our household. And my kids are wondering, why are we walking through a door? You know, they're still pretty young. And I said, it's not about the door. It's about the faith that's being executed when we go through the door. The door in of itself has no power, but it's the obedience to God. And, you know, we walked through, and then Pastor Caroline, you know, put her hand on me, and I could sense an anointing was flowing. And at that moment, our whole family, our household shifted and changed. And even, it, you know, the behavior of our kids, everything just changed. And that godly order was the thing that we had let slip. You know, we were still coming, we were praying, but the order was wrong. So seeking the kingdom first really does matter. There's a peace, there's a joy that comes with it.
Son, it's going to, Jesus, have mercy. Ooh. It's going to stay that way, son. Amen. It's going to stay that way. That's the order that Jesus gave. He said, first the husband gets lined up with God and his wife lines up with him and then the children are in order. I speak that blessing upon you right now in Jesus' name. Look at me. I'm glad you stayed. I'm glad you stayed. I'm glad you stayed. Amen. Who else has a testimony? Yes, come on up.
Last Wednesday, Pastor was teaching about the blood. And you know, it's amazing. I sit here and I feel like I'm accepting all the word that God has ever taught me. But then Wednesday night came in. He said, if you have things that you are worried about or thinking about, and I'm like, there are things there. And I'm like, why are there things there? I'm like, I shouldn't be worried about those things that are there. The blood washes it clean, clean, no residue. And I thought about that. I'm like, why do I have things? And it's amazing. Shame. Shame for things that have gone on. Shame. And I put it off to the side. And then I would bring it up and let the devil bring it up. And I would feel that shame every time I thought about it. And I'm like, why am I not letting the blood wash it clean? Why? And that's me. It was me. Because I didn't realize how powerful God's blood is. I thought about what you said. You said, our blood, we were made in his image. Our blood does 200 things for us. But think about what Jesus' blood did for us. Yeah. Think about what the blood of Jesus did for us. I'm like, oh, I don't have any more shame. Devil, you're a liar. I have no more shame of anything. It's all washed away in the blood. And I said, I have to remember the blood he shed for me and my family. No more shame. No more shame. And I felt so light. I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for revealing. And I thought about Logos word and Rhema word. I said, oh my goodness, this is that Rhema. It's when it comes to you. You know that God died for you. You know he shed his blood for you. And I was like, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for going over it again and over it again and over it again until I got it. Until I got it, because I didn't realize I was putting stuff off to the side, and then it would come back. And I'm like, that's what the pastor's talking about. It's washed in the blood, and it's gone now. And I praise God, praise God,
praise God. I love you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Anybody else?
Hallelujah!
We're having church. There you go.
Serving, giving, confessing God's order. It was just a reminder to me because of, you know, there's just so much coming against the believers now. It was a reminder that I can change the environment.
Yes, yes, and yes, and yes. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hi, Iris, how are you?
You know, Sunday when I came to church, my back was really hurting bad. I couldn't stand in the middle circle for intercessory prayer because it was hurting that bad. So I sat here next to the chair so in case I have something to sit down. Well, when Paulie did that thing with the door, and the whole church got up, so I said, I don't know if I want to do this, you know? I wasn't sure if I would do it. But I said, I'm going to sit here because that line is just too long. I couldn't stand up. So I waited till the last. When everybody had gone through, I felt the Holy Spirit pushing me to go up. And I obeyed and I came up and I went through the door. Pastor Carolyn called me back, laid hands on me, and said something to me that was so powerful. I had never heard that in my life. I was questioning God, what is my life about? You know, you get to a certain age and your kid's gone. You're alone, and you're saying, okay, what now, Lord? You know, so, but anyway, the thing was that the anointing hit me so powerfully that I was like, I was gone. I was totally gone in the spirit. My whole body was shaking. I couldn't control myself, and I was speaking in tongues, and it was so powerful. I felt like I couldn't even walk. So I had to like just stand there for a bit to try to gain my strength back. I tried walking and I was like trying to hold on to chairs. People were holding me up. One sister just grabbed me and held me for a while. I sat down until I could, you know, continue to walk. But let me tell you something. I feel my body is stronger. My back feels better. And I'm just praising and rejoicing God because I know that He has a purpose for my life. Yep. No matter how old you could get, He has a purpose for your life. And if He has saved you, He's called you for a purpose.
Yes.
So I'm thanking God today, and I'm rejoicing. And I'm here on a Wednesday night.
Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anybody else?
For myself personally, when me and my husband walked through the door, I felt this refreshing and this joy. And I don't know if you saw, but we dapped each other up. You know, it wasn't a sadness or like anything. Like, it was a joy of the Lord that just came on us. And in the past and the things that we've carried, you know, that we've been through and walked through, you don't know, you don't need to know. But when we walked through that door, it felt like a weight lifting into a new environment, into a new season. And then for the church in general, watching that happen and seeing you all line up and be so excited to go through that door and listen to the man of God and what he had to say and respond. And that atmosphere that just came forth, seeing people jumping and shouting and cheering on their fellow believers, to see them go into a new place, don't lose that, church. That was something that was amazing to witness and to see, and don't lose it. Don't lose it.
Thank you. That was great. Hallelujah. Don't lose it. Anybody else that I miss? Real quick.
So I take good notes too. And as I was reading through those notes and remembering what happened, I felt what Jasmine felt. I felt joy, and I felt something similar to when I got baptized. And Pauly, I would say, as Jasmine described, the atmosphere that began and was created, and I felt it again when I came here tonight, is this is now a great cloud of witnesses. This is what Pauly and the worship team, this is what you have created, and we've responded, and all of us together are now a great cloud of witnesses. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Wow. Glory. Hallelujah. Well, I was supposed to do two things, but I can't, so I'm going to do one. The Lord had given me this last week before Pauly preached on Sunday, and it was the scripture out of Hebrews. You can do the list. I'm going to read a little piece of it, but if you'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, you can. I'm just going to give you some translations. The Amplified says, they would no longer have any guilt or consciousness of sin. See, that's what the word says. They have no longer any guilt. The scriptures also in Hebrews says that God does not remember your sin. Jesus took the blood, put it on the mercy seat. That's why the Bible says that the blood speaks. Guilt and shame should never be any part of your life, considering anything you've ever done. But yet you and I can walk around on a daily basis and feel guilt and shame about something that's happened in our past. You don't have a past. See, I'm telling you what the word says. Now, how many of you want to be set free from all that junk? Next time that thought comes into your head, you hear, well, remember this. Get the scriptures out of Hebrews and say them out of your mouth. Say them out of your mouth. Do you have a sin conscience? I don't have one, but then why do I sometimes feel that way? Because I don't understand the word, and I'm not saying it out of my mouth. I know I said this a couple weeks ago. There's the word of God, period. That's it. There's not another source. There's not some rich person. There's not what I'm expecting from. It's God and the word, and that's it. See, when we start living that way and doing that, then the enemy has no way into our life. But if he hears us repeat what we've done in the past, then that gives him a chance to load his mouth up and come after us. God has no remembrance of anything you and I have ever done. None. The Bible says one man came, gave his life for a sacrifice for all of us. Boom. Now what happens is the natural mind gets a hold of that and say, well, that's impossible. Not with God it isn't. He loved us so much, he gave us his son, only son, to die on a death no person should ever experience, shed his blood, went into hell for 3 days and preached to the captives, rose from the dead, hallelujah, and the dead people left the cemetery at the same time. Hallelujah. Ted shared a testimony, I saw it on television, I think it was today or yesterday, where the Lord spoke to him about something, and he said, somebody's going to start a church. And somebody was going and had already started a church in Las Vegas. And after the first service, they had like 1,300 or 1,500 people. People were hungry. You see, God has such great plans for you and I, but we cannot get stuck thinking the thing through. Just do what he says to do when he says to do it. Now, how many of you can remember your past? You better not put your hand up and come after you. Do you have anything in your past? Do you have a future? Who's that with? Jesus. Do you have a future right now today where you're sitting? Don't ever let anything from your past, listen, come up and look you in the face and point its finger at you. Don't let it happen. Say hallelujah. What does it say in Hebrews now? I have no sin consciousness. Now, if some of your friends like to remember, hey, remember we used to hang out here and do this and that, say, no, I don't want to hear about it. That'll make you laugh. I don't watch the news. That's just my, the Lord spoke to me. But I found out I get dribble news. What's that, Pastor? People approach me and say, I know you don't watch the news, but that's dribble news. Now I have a new name. Got dribble news. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want dribble news. I want this news. Dribble news will be gone before it even comes out of somebody's mouth. I'm here to tell you, the good news of the Word of God will keep you clean, set you free every single day of your life. Do you have a sin consciousness? None. None. How did that happen? Jesus came, gave his life freely, bled blood on Calvary, right to the ground of Golgotha's hill, and still had enough when he got to heaven to put it on the mercy seat. So when God sees Jesus Christ at his right hand, he also sees the mercy seat and the blood applied. Amen. See, it's so simple, people are afraid to believe it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. How could that be? I don't know, but it sure worked for me. For years, we hear people say this, well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Shut your mouth. You were a sinner. Don't talk about that before. Don't go near that thing at all. Get away from it. Get away from your past. If God got away from your past, you and I need to get away from our past. If we don't, we leave a door open for the enemy to come in and harass us. When the Bible says, don't give place to the enemy, you've heard me preach this. Don't give him a beachhead. Once he's got a beachhead, and how does he get a beachhead? He hears the words coming out of our mouth. Hang on now. If the words coming out of our mouth match the word of God, he's in big trouble. But once he knows you and I got the word, he's afraid of the word coming out of our mouth. Always remember, how did he try to get Jesus in the wilderness experience? He went after the word, but he couldn't say it in its entirety. He went after the word with the word. He was really doing is going after Jesus with a lie. You can't hit the word with a lie. It doesn't work that way. And what did Jesus say? It's written. That's how we have the, it's written, Satan. It's written, devil. Listen to my voice. I have no conscience at all when it comes to sin. Either does God and either does Jesus Christ. I'm free. And the blood speaks for me everywhere I go. We have to be very careful to make sure our mouth lines up with the word. Don't give them anything. Don't give them anything. Speak the word from the morning all the way through the day. Have you been set free between what happened Sunday? I had this ready before Sunday when Paulie preached. I didn't know what he was preaching. You have, say, I have no sin consciousness anymore, according to Hebrews 10. God has no consciousness of my sin. It's already, they say, done. If it's done, what does that mean? It's done. If you leave something too long in the oven, it'll burn on you. Don't let the word burn on you. Speak it out of your mouth by faith and say what the word of God says. The Bible says in James, demons tremble at the sound of that name. Well, if you're praying the word sometimes, you'll think it's raining outside, there's a thunderstorm coming. Now, that's just demons on a stampede to get out of your way. I want to thank everybody that came up here and said what they said. Powerful. Powerful. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, ushers. Paulie, thank you so much for preaching that word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say I'm set free. Say I'm set free. Now, if there's an empty chair next to you, make sure that's filled next week. Invite somebody to the house of God. I've invited a bunch of people. Amen. I'm believing for people to get saved, healed, lives to be changed by the power of God. Amen. Father, we thank you for our opportunity tonight to share this precious word, because we understand the clarity of your word in Hebrews. There's no sin consciousness anymore. Nobody can bring it up to us ever again. And if they try to, we will say out of our mouth, no, Hebrews says, I have no consciousness of sin. God has no consciousness of my past. There is not any longer something there to harass me. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ed Dufresne, I don't know if you know Ed Dufresne, he passed away a number of years ago, but we had taken him out to lunch, and he walked to the restaurant, but to get to the restaurant, he had to walk through the bar. And he sat at the table with my wife and myself. He said, would you guys please pray for me? First time in 20 years I have a taste of alcohol just walking through the bar area. So we laid hands on him right in the restaurant, amen? And God caused that thing to leave. See, the enemy came back at him with what he used to be, caught him off guard, and we prayed with him, and God just set him free. Never had a problem again. Glory to God. Don't ever let him hijack your life with words. Don't let that happen. Amen.